up to a certain age, everything seems so simple. Take nightfall, for example. If you were to ask a young girl to account for the scientific phenomenon of nightfall, she would probably answer that night falls because it gets dark. Ask the same question a few years later, and the child might say something about sunset and the loss of light. A few years more, and the same person may offer an explanation involving the rotation of the earth and the angle of the sun's ray, a more complex and scientifically accurate response. A few years can affect significant changes in the way people think. 25 years ago, for instance, when the heart stopped beating, a person was declared dead. Sometimes, to be sure, a physician might run an electrocardiogram to detect any faint heartbeats, but in most cases, a silent stethoscope and a still pulse were absolute indicators of death. Then, in 1968, a committee of experts from Harvard University decided the time had come to establish firmer and more uniform guidelines for the medical profession to follow in determining death. They based their decision on accumulated data which proved that different parts of the body can die at different moments. Some of the major internal organs, for example, can only function for a few hours after death, while in the average body, hair and nails can grow for 2 or 3 weeks. Because evidence built up that some of the body's major systems could function while other major ones were dead, the committee decided to take the initiative in reconsidering the definition of death. The crucial issue is whether the essence of life resides in the heart or in the brain. Because the body rarely shuts down all its systems at once, and because hospitals have access to the most modern life-preserving machinery, it is entirely possible that the brain, deprived of an adequate supply of oxygen, could die while the patient, often with the help of hospital equipment, remains alive. To many observers, this brain death should constitute the legal definition of death, because it leaves the patient little more than a vegetable. These observers argue that once the brain dies, there is little sense in trying to preserve what remains of life by plugging it into mechanical equipment. Others disagree, contending that we have no right to pull the plug on a person, even one whose brain can never function again. Thus, the debate rages on, raising more questions about death than it answers.